Oh, praise ye the Lord, for he is good and his love endures forever. Can you say amen? Praise God. Would you like to take your seats? And if you have a Bible, turn with me to the 12th chapter of the book of John. Wasn't that a great testimony from young Dante? Man, that's so moving. I really believe that that young girl who was going to kill herself is going to be grateful forever that a young man took the time to stop and talk to her while she was about to drop. He was in a rush, but thank God for that Good Samaritan anointing. May he go far in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. I love it. Praise God. I want to speak to you today, and I believe that this is straight from the throne of heaven, because last night while I was studying out the message this morning, I just had one passage of scripture, and it didn't really quite make much sense. I didn't know what direction the Lord wanted me to go in. So I woke up early this morning to continue, and I realized that he wants me to minister to you this morning on the subject of opportunities to stumble. Wow. Opportunities to stumble. How many of you know the Bible says that we stumble in many ways? There's a thousand ways to collapse and fall. And one of the things that my wife was ministering on last week was the whole idea of becoming offended and stumbling and falling off as a result. And the Lord said this to me, and let me quote it to you verbatim as he said it this morning. He said, "How many people end up washed up on the barren shores of revival?" And I saw something, and it's a trusted weapon of the devil, that if we make a few decisions beforehand, we will not be affected by the enemy's handiwork. Every move of God has the potential to win many people to Christ, to heal many lives, to restore marriages, to raise up people in areas of business and finance, to take children back to the cross of Jesus and restore them to their families, etc. But with all that comes the devil's opportunity to get people offended and to get people to stumble away. And I just saw something that has been a long-running scourge, if you like, a trusted weapon of the devil against the body of Christ. And that's the ability to, while the fires of revival are burning, that there is people on the periphery who get an opportunity to stumble and they fall at the first. I was ministering at an all-night before we came to our all-night on Friday over at Harlesden. Lovely dear brother of ours, Lawrence Larby. Some of you may know him or his dad, Sam Larby. And it was a real privilege to minister there. And the Lord was talking to me on the subject of Judah prevailed. There was an opportunity there. The Bible says in 1 Chronicles chapter 5 that the birthright belonged to Joseph, but Judah prevailed. And it talks about how leadership transferred. The blessing of leadership was automatically on the household of Joseph, but Judah prevailed, and the leader came from Judah. So we had David, the son of Judah, and then we had Jesus, the son of David. And he was talking all about that. But right in the middle of the thing, I saw, wow, you know, the number of opportunities that we have to fall and to stumble while God is wanting us to continue. We have an enemy that accuses God. And if you realize how in Scripture, the way he accuses God, he's very tricky. He has a couple of things in his playbook. There's one called skin for skin that you've got to study out. That's another message for another time. But there's another one. It's like, does Job fear God for nothing? In other words, you call yourself God, and yet here are these people. Does this man fear you for nothing? You've blessed him. Everything that he's done has turned to gold. I guarantee you, strike him and he'll turn his face from you. And how many times have we seen that? How many times have we seen people get just basically upset for the smallest issues?
and as a result, drop away and fall away from their destiny. I know for a fact, even in ministry, in the short time of ministry that I've been in, that there are people who should have been connected to my ministry for the long term who didn't quite make it because for one reason or another, they got offended, stumbled, and fell away. Now, by God's grace, many of them have connected up with other ministries and they're going on. And by the grace of God, they won't suffer too much. But what could have and would have and should have been is much greater than what is as a result. And I don't know about you, my brother and sister, but as for me, I want to make sure that my tongue... I heard one guy praying one time and the Lord said to me, yeah, he's praying coulda, woulda, shoulda. Coulda, woulda, shoulda. I could have done this. I would have done this. I should have done this. But I didn't. And it's our own character. It's our own ability to get upset, offended, and stumble away at the smallest things that can somehow derail us from our destiny. How many of you want to continue with your destiny to the very end and burst through the gates? And there's a banner waiting for you saying, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter in to my Father's house. That's what I want. And sometimes that road is hard. Narrow, Jesus said, is the way that leads to salvation. And really and truly, until you're walking that way of salvation, you don't really know how narrow it is. When you have to love people who persecute you. When you have to pray and bless those who curse you. Wow, it seems like an easy, you know, you stand here sometimes and, you know, everything's blessed and successful and people are doing well and, you know, happy, wholesome, full lives and everything like that. And it all looks like it's easy. Hey, mommy. Wow, you don't realize until you look back how difficult it is. And one of the things, one of the major knockout ways of the enemy is to get people to stumble and be offended. So I'm going to show you a little story from the Bible that some of it's probably well known, but then there's other bits interwoven. One of the things that the Holy Spirit does is that he'll bury part of one story in another story. Right. And that you've got to dig out the word. You've got to kind of forensically look at the word of God. The Bible says, study to show yourself approved unto God. A man who need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And the Lord said this to me. He said, you know, he said, I want you to be rightly approved. I don't want you to have the reputation of a cowboy when it comes to the things of my word. So we've got to know and dig into the word. Jesus said this. He said, if you continue in my word, you'll be my disciple indeed. And it's the doers of the word that get the rewards. But the doing of the word, Jesus said, is like a man who dug into rock. And digging into rock, brothers, is not easy. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So I want us to look at John chapter 12. We're going to get the beginnings of the story. And then we're going to flip over to Mark. I hope this is a blessing to you. John chapter 12. Now, in John chapter 11, Jesus has raised a guy from the dead who's been dead 4 days. Now, if that isn't a supernatural, sovereign move of the Holy Spirit, then good night and God bless you. Jesus, therefore, it says, John 12, verse 1. Jesus, therefore, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they made him a supper there, and Martha was serving. But Lazarus was one of those reclining at the table. Isn't that amazing? You've got a dead guy sitting there eating. Mary then took a pound of very costly perfume of pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus, wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Stop there for a second. Have you ever been in a prayer meeting? This has happened to me countless times. Have you ever been in a prayer meeting and the place suddenly fills with the smell of perfume? You ever been there? Just put up your hand if you have. It's a very, very powerful thing. There is a thing in the realm of the spirit. I don't know how it happens. It's just true. Like there's sometimes, Nick, my cousin Nick is there. Do you remember those times in places like Fenor or in Paul Kelly's house in Dublin? And suddenly The place is just filled with like just roses, the smell of just beautiful roses. The presence of God. Jesus calls himself the Rose of Sharon, the Lily of the Valley. In the book of Song of Songs, the Bible says that when the king came into his chamber, my fragrance gave off his perfume. So his Bible, the Bible says by the mouth of two or three witnesses. So if you've never smelt that before, get into the presence of God one day and just pray and just say, Lord, whatever Pastor P was on about that day, Lord, I want to experience it myself. May your house be filled with the fragrance of his presence in Jesus' mighty name. Now there's a stink. The devil stinks. I've been in places where the devil stank the place out. And that's another story. I was in Dublin one time. I was in an electrics shop. And I was early for the meeting that I was due to go in Dublin. And I walked into this electrical shop where they were selling gadgets. And back then it was Sony Walkmans and cameras and all those kind of things. I walked into this shop and the stink in the place was something hideous. And there was this big guy hunched over the counter looking at some, you know, he was a customer looking at some of the electronics there. He had a leather jacket on. He looked like a bit of a rock and roller and sunglasses on. And I kind of glanced at him out the corner of my eye, didn't pay much attention or whatever. And so I left that shop. I thought, wow. I said, Lord, cleanse Dublin in Jesus' name. It's the same smell I got in New York. And I said, Lord, cleanse Dublin in Jesus' name. Whatever it is about this city that needs cleaning, clean it. Anyway, the next night I'm watching, there's a very famous show called The Late Late Show that anyone in Ireland, there's two things you've got to be in Ireland. Number one is Catholic. And number two, you've got to see The Late Late Show. And the dude that I saw in the electronics shop was there as a guest. He was doing a rock concert in Dublin. His name was Ozzy Osbourne. Black Sabbath lead singer. And the smell of this shop as a result. And I thought, wow, wouldn't I prefer the smell of Jesus coming in when I walk into a place? I mean, thank God for Gucci and Hermes and all these nice Chanel, what is it called, Roro? Channel 5. Can you imagine? We bought Roro some Chanel number 5 for her birthday. I mean, you talk about a sacrifice. And she opened the thing. She said, oh, wow, Channel 5. Mommy. Channel 5. May your house smell of Channel 5 in Jesus' name. She got it in the end anyway. It was a slip of the tongue. Right. Okay. So anyway, that's a precept in Scripture you can believe God for. You know, the Bible says in Corinthians that we smell like the fragrance of heaven on earth. To the world, we stink, but to God, we smell wonderful. We are his flowers. And I read there's a book. In fact, we'll do it as book of the month, 1 month soon. If you've never read it, it's called Visions Beyond the Veil. Everyone read that book? Put up your hand if you've read that book. Put up your hand if you haven't yet read Visions Beyond the Veil. Book of the month, we'll do it one time. It's the true story about a group of children in Yunnan province in China in the 1930s who got saved under the Methodist preaching of a missionary there whose surname was Baker. And he's Heidi Baker's uncle or grandfather? Heidi Baker's grandfather. And these children didn't know one end of the Bible from another. They only had one Bible, and that was in English, so they couldn't read. The guy was teaching them English, but they didn't know head nor tail about the Bible. And they had visions of heaven and new stuff supernaturally. They'd seen it in heaven. Supernaturally, stuff that is in Scripture that you and I can turn to, they didn't have a Bible to turn to, and they knew this stuff coming out of visions. And one of the things they said was the fragrance of heaven was everywhere. Isn't that wonderful? May God's fragrance be upon us in Jesus' mighty name. But I want to carry on now. I've got a message to preach this morning. I have to move on. Right, the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Next verse. But Judas Iscariot, one of the disciples who was intending to betray him, said, why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii? Now, that's a lot of money. Back then, you could buy a house for that. In fact, you could buy a house and a donkey and given to the poor. Now, he said this not because he was concerned about the poor, but because he was a thief. And as he had the money box, he used to pilfer what was put into it. Therefore, Jesus said, "Let her alone, so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For you always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." Now, turn to Mark chapter 14, and we're going to get an enhanced view of what was going on by the grace of God. Mark chapter 14, and we're going to look at the first verse. Mark 14:1. Now the Passover of unleavened bread were 2 days away, and the chief priests and the scribes were seeking how to seize him by stealth and kill him. For they were saying, "Not during the festival, otherwise there might be a riot of the people." While he was in Bethany, at the home of Simon the leper, a.k.a. Lazarus. How many of you are known by two different names in different communities? It happens a lot, I know, in Nigerian culture. So Pastor Temi is known, we all know him as Pastor Temi, but his name is also Bambo to his close friends. And that's quite common, apparently, in certain cultures, that you'll have a group of friends that you did uni with that know you by your uni name. And then, is that the same with you? Yeah? So what's his name?
Boat.
Oh, Jesus. Boat. Okay. Oh, I see. Okay, it's his initials. I was wondering, is he related to Noah or something like that? I didn't quite get the thing. Okay. Now, while he was in Bethany, there came a woman with an alabaster jar. So this is the same story, but once removed. John was there when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. But Mark gathered the stories after Jesus was raised from the dead and ascended into heaven. And that's how we get the book of Mark. He went round and researched the stories and wrote the stories from after Jesus was risen. John witnessed it with his eyes, but Mark came and wrote afterwards, right? There came a woman with an alabaster vial of very costly perfume of pure nard. And as she broke the vial and poured it out over his head, but some were indignantly remarking to one another. Do you notice in John chapter 12, it was Judas. Yes. But now in the book of Mark, it's some. So that one person that started that thing, wow. Then it's multiplied out. Because you see, Satan will always have reason. He will always have reason. There's always. You see, if you're going to poison an animal, you don't put the poison out on the floor. You put it on a piece of meat. And this is one thing the Lord said to me. He said, with Satan, anything he accuses of has an element of truth. Otherwise, it wouldn't be an accusation. It would be a fallacy. Do you see what I mean? It's really, really important that we understand that. That there's an element of truth to what the devil accuses of. Or some they say what? No smoke without fire. Wow. Right? There's always at some little drip. Now, the difficulty is you don't know what the drip of truth is. Right. Do you see what I'm saying? And this is why you've got to know the voice of God. The Bible says love believes the best. And this is what God was saying about there are too many people washed up on the beaches of revival. Too many people stumble because the one becomes the sum. Wow. So you've got to know who's saying what and why. Wow. It's really, really, really important to understand this, particularly in this day and age with the media, with political correctness, with the kind of some of the narrative that's going on right now and some of the news headlines is just unbelievable. I mean, you've got jihadis virtually on every street corner in Europe trying to murder people, and the BBC is full of Donald Trump when he's not even our president. Like, what is it that they're not trying to tell us? Do you see what I mean? I read, and I don't know if you have heard this, because on social media I'm quite active in terms of counteracting some of these strange ideologies that we're encountering lately. And I heard that a government minister, stood up in Iran yesterday and declared in 20 years, Israel will be history. Now we know where that all ends up. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Now, how many of you heard that before you knew that before I told you? Hands up if you didn't hear it. I mean, that's big news. That's one nation threatening. That's an act of war. When a government minister, if he wasn't sacked, if he still got his job today, then that's an act of war. That's not diplomacy. That's outright declaration of war. And this is part of the problem. There's a whole planet full of stuff right now that the media isn't telling us that's going on, that now through social media and all those kind of platforms, we're getting to hear what's going on. We're hearing the backstory behind some of the narrative that is being presented, and it's presenting a whole different ballgame. And I've noticed this in the past. I remember back in the day, back in 1993, I was in Kensington Temple. There was a great evangelist there, a guy called George Canty. Anyone ever received from George Canty's ministry? Real great evangelist, lovely guy, loved God. And there was a write-up in the Independent newspaper the following Saturday about the growth of television evangelism in the UK. And that, you know, this stuff is coming to you as if it was like something really awful and terrible, and we're going to turn your kids into jihadis and get them killing and all that sort of stuff. And they wrote about this, and they're so clever the way they put a photograph of this guy, George Canty. I'll never forget it as long as I live. He was on the platform praying for people like that with his hands out like that, right? And about 5 foot further down, there was a pretty attractive looking woman with her hands out like that. And the photograph looked like his hand was on her breast. Imagine. Some little old innocent dude like George Kent. I mean, you know, long past the age of childbearing. And here they are with a photograph. It was either the Telegraph or the Independent. I can't remember which one. And I thought, wow, what is the agenda behind the thing? Who is the one trying to become the sum? Does that make sense? The Bible says, whose report shall you believe, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? And there's some people, and there's some stories out there, unless the arm of the Lord reveals it to you, you wouldn't know what's going on. They think somehow they've become the guardians of protection for this nation. You know, the BBC must be thinking, we're the only people holding this nation together. What can we do? As if this nation was built by the prayers of the saints, we would be some backward backwater. I mean, we have people praising God in this nation, rejoicing, and God speaking to people in congregations where they're sitting there singing, all hail the power of Jesus' name. And the next thing, the voice of the Holy Spirit says, go to Africa. Let angels prostrate for all. So they go and they say, Dad, the Lord has just called me to Africa. He says, go on, son, go your way. And they packed their stuff in a coffin and went to preach the gospel in Africa, because the average lifespan of a person in a missionary context that went to Africa and preached the gospel, the average lifespan was 2 weeks. 2 weeks. Malaria, dengue fever, you name it, white water rafting fever. I mean, you name it, there's like 100 tons of diseases that can kill a white man in days in that place. And they went by the boatloads. Why? They heard something of God. That's what the blessing on this nation was for. You think about this nation without Christ, without us bringing Christ to the world. Number one, we're the biggest enslavers in humanity. In the history of man, America didn't have slaves till Britain taught them how. Number two, we are the biggest thieves in history. Just go to the British Museum. The largest collection of stolen goods in the history of man. They call it the British Museum. They should call it what we nicked from the world. That's the truth. That's the absolute truth. The Greeks want the Elgin marbles back. The Egyptians want their mummies back. The South Africans want their gold back. Have you ever seen the Queen when she walks in? Where do you think all them jewels came from? They don't grow them in Britain. No, they were dug and pilfered. In fact, one of them is called the Star of India. Are they still killing? He's, hey, hey, we got your gold. Nah, nah. You understand? I mean, that's the narrative of who we were without Christ. But God, who is rich in mercy, founded and established this nation and caused it to prosper. Hallelujah. And many people, we owe our Christianity today to those who heard the voice of God in the 1700s and 1800s saying, go to the nations. You think about it. My ancestors came from the west of Ireland. I mean, we were dragging our knuckles and banging each other over the head with clubs up until probably 120 years ago. That's just the way it is. I don't know about your ancestors, but hey, mine were pretty fierce. There's one, you can look him up. McNamara is his surname. You can Google Fireball McNamara. The guy was a mercenary killer. Made his fortune around Europe, shooting people. My goodness, aren't you glad for the blood of Jesus Christ? Please, my brother and sister, don't let the one become the sum. Very, very, very important. But some were indignantly remarking. There's two things you can draw from that story. Number one, Lazarus was a leper before he died. So not only was he 4 days dead, but he was dead from leprosy. Imagine. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, don't let the one become the sum. I've learned, my brother and sister, you know, when I hear any kinds of accusations or anything like that against men or women of God, I've learned to hold my peace, to keep my peace, and to keep it silent. Let the Holy Spirit reveal it. Let the Holy Spirit deal with it. Makes for a much longer life as well. You live longer and happier. The number of people, and this is what God said to me this morning, how many people end up washed up on the barren shores of revival? You see, this is how offense creeps in. It comes in by the mouth of one that then becomes the sum. In fact, Hebrews 12:15, look at what it says there. It's a very powerful way that God puts it. Hebrews 12:15. Hebrews 12:15, that's 13:15. Hebrews chapter 12. Is there somewhere in the Bible? Okay. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God. What's that? That's discipleship. And that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled. In other words, from what the Holy Spirit said to me this morning, he said, see to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and many people end up washed up on the barren shores of revival. It's so, so important. So important that we nurture our spirits, that we learn. Let me ask a question, if you can be honest. How many of you have been to a church or you sat under a ministry where there was some sort of division, some sort of fight, and some sort of split? Would you put up your hand? Put it up high. Now, I want to ask those a question. Did it hurt? Did you feel betrayed? Question, where did it start? Where did that division start? Because it usually starts with one who then becomes the sum. And then the sum causes that root of bitterness springing up. Now, here's an amazing thing in nature. There are some plants that will remain dormant. In fact, in India, there's a very famous case where every 49 years, can you imagine this by accuracy? Every 49 years, this particular town in India gets overrun by rats. Every 49 years, documented in their history for the last 300-400 years going back. Every 49 years without fail. And they did a scientific study. They got some scientists over, I can't remember where from, some university, I think, in the US, did a study on why this town gets overrun by rats. And Channel 4 did a documentary on it. Really fascinating. There's a plant that only bears fruit once every 49 years. And when it does, it's so nutritious and so delicious that the rat population that would normally remain stable grows to over 50 times its normal size in that year, and it eats that particular fruit. Now, can you imagine that? That thing remains for 49 years dormant, and then springing up, it defiles many. That's what God was saying to me while I was watching this thing. Isn't that amazing? There's bamboo, where you can grow bamboo and it can remain like this size in the ground. And then suddenly, in a matter of a few hours, sometimes 72 hours, it can grow to 6 feet tall. Isn't that remarkable? Now, if that's the truth in the natural, how capable is the devil of causing a root of bitterness to spring up? So we've got to know that these things can happen, and it's not what happens, it's how we react to what happens. I thank God for the ability to stand firm when I could have stumbled. My wife gave you the example last week of this guy who was accusing me. He said, the Lord's told me, in front of everybody in this big ministry, he said, the Lord has told me you're full of pride and you need to repent. Imagine. And I didn't know what to do. I was broken. I didn't know what to do. And the Lord said to me, don't worry, son. He said, it's just a plan of the enemy to knock you out of your destiny. He said, Satan has seen what is on the road ahead, and he's trying to derail the process. He said, get over it and walk in love. So I did, and the rest is history. But how many times has that been? I remember sitting in a church. God called me to another ministry, and that particular church suffered a major split 3 months after I left it. And I remember speaking to people 4 or 5 years after that split had happened. Never been back to church since. Hurt, betrayed, wounded people. Suffering and just trying to limp through life as best they could. And I remember speaking, and you know, one of them said, he said, I gave a fortune to that church. And when that guy did what, because the church went bankrupt apparently, it was some money mismanagement. And the church went bankrupt as a result. And the guy, the suffering that guy, because the guy had put everything he could into earning that thing and then gave it as a sacrifice. And I said, sir, I said, part of your problem is that you weren't giving it to God, you were giving it to a church. I said, when I bring my offering, because I was in the very same church and I was giving very similar amounts to that particular ministry. But to me, I was giving it to God. To me, it was at the altar, boom, gone. Lord, it's yours. Do you understand? And it's so important that when we serve unto the Lord, not unto men. Doesn't matter how dynamic or charismatic the ministry is, anything like that. Any one of us can stumble. Any one of us can stumble. Not only that, any one of us can face accusation. You imagine one of the most faithful men in history did 5 years for rape. Joseph. God had to vindicate him himself. Do you understand? So it's one of those things where you hold your peace, you pray, and you say, as for me, Father, I refuse to be washed up on the barren shores of revival. I choose to be those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Can you stand to your feet and say amen? Thank you, Lord. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we know that when the enemy tries those things, when he tries to disrupt, to interrupt, to derail a move of your spirit, he does it in order to cause the faith of those involved to fail. Wow. Father, Lord, we pray that these decisions are made long before anything like that happens. That as for us and you, we will remain faithful. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Father, I never imagined that I would have to take the car seat of my firstborn out of my car because she had passed away at the age of 2. I could never have imagined such a thing. But Lord God, you held me by your hand. People prayed for me that my faith wouldn't fail. And as a result, I stand here today as a vessel of honor, Lord. And in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, we don't know what life holds, but we know how we can react, that you are good. And as for you, Father, you are perfect in faithfulness. So we give you the glory and the honor and the praise, Lord God. We refuse to be those who are washed up on the barren shores of revival. We choose to forgive. We choose to work on our souls through things like encounters, fixing the foundations, healed for life, things like that that would take those arrows out and cause our foundations to be strong, so that when the earthquakes come along, Heavenly Father, we will stand sure. Let it be according to your word, Father, that we all make heaven. And we all hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of my Father." That's our prayer, that's our delight, and that's our confession today. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Put your hands together for the Lord our God.